Where did we stop? We stopped at Genesis 1:13, I think.
We're not going to do this week?
We're going to do, yes. We're going to do all the way to where we're supposed to be tonight.
Okay. Well, that's your 13.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Genesis. Now, what I'm going to do is, this is going to be like
warp speed,
but it's going to be trust your judgment. I mean, I'm serious. Hear me. If there's something you don't understand, stop.
Okay.
Stop me, okay? And the reading. Okay, the readings, we read first, we'll read through Genesis 2, verse 3, and then we'll take a look at it, okay? We ended up in Genesis 1:13. So Genesis 4, and verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now, if you remember when we studied the stars, the signs of the zodiac, the word there, let them be for signs, is the word that means let them be for metaphors or allegories or picture emblems. The stars are set in the zodiacal order on purpose. And they're arranged in that way on purpose to show forth the mystery. So he's saying at the time of creation, let the stars and the luminaries in the night be for a sign and for a season. Okay? And again, remember that in the Hebrew concept of time, for us, we are now right, we are immediate, we are like right with God. And God is saying, let there be lights right now. Remember, and when you read the Bible, you have to hear that. You can't ever read it as history. It all has to be the prophecy of the next second. And God is saying, let there be light. Now he's saying it. Got it? And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now the reason that mankind, all men favor, their favorite time of the day is normally at sunrise or sunset. The reason for it is it's twilight. It's not light or it's not dark. God hates that time of the day because things are gray. On the desert, where I grew up in Arizona, when the sun set, in less than 3 minutes, it was dark. Pitch dark. There's no twilight. Because there's no humidity in the air. The humidity, there's no liquid, there's no vapor in the air, there's no judgment. That's why you hate humidity, because humidity represents judgment in the air. In the desert, where it's clear, there's only two choices, black or white, night or day. There's no humidity, so there's no diffusion of light, there's no diffusion of revelation. Now, Tyra hates humidity worse, almost as bad as I do, or probably as bad as I do. And I hate it for natural reasons. It makes me feel bad. But I hate it worse for spiritual reasons, because it diffuses revelation. You understand? Mm-hmm. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firmament of the heaven of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now hear me. At every point, it's let there be. God saw it was good. In Revelation, it says that everything in the universe was created for God's pleasure. That means that everything in our universe can be an instrument of your pleasure if you have the mind of Christ. That means there is no thing on the face of the earth There's no condition that you can be in. There's no situation that you can be in that isn't pleasurable if you would but see with the mind of Christ. If you would pray for the mind of God instead of the mind of yourself. God saw that it was good. It was good. It was good. Tonight, God is seeing it is good. Right now. You understand?
Mm-hmm. That's what I need to hear every second.
Amen. Because instantly, you will make a judgment about your circumstance, and the judgment will cause you to be in a state of depression or anxiety or fear. It's only because you've made a judgment about the circumstance.
It's only until recently I began to see how pervasive it is to, you know, because you swim in it, like the metaphor, but you're always, there's always a judgment on the environment. There's always a judgment on, so you spend almost all your time in this place of being against.
And that's why you can say, that's why, you know, when that gets so sickening to you, when it's the stench of death, when it's in the spirit touching a dead body, and it produces this uncleanness, then you will immediately, you'll turn from it. You won't let it be in you for a second. Come out, touch not the unclean thing. You touch it with your mind. God saw it was good. God is seeing it is good. Well, what about God is seeing it is good right now? Let this mind which was in Christ Jesus also be in you. If you would only see that all of your bad moods are a result of your attempt to be your own God or goddess. You can't be in a bad mood, you can't be in a state of anxiety if you are not trying to be your own deity. It's so simple. It's impossible for you to be in a state other than that which God intended. It is good unless, if you're out trying to be your own divinity. Can you understand that? All of you? Okay.
Why did the writer single out whales?
Because there's great arguments about that one.
Yeah, I had a feeling there might be.
The word isn't really a whale. It's just a huge, big thing.
Blue whale is the big, largest creature that ever was on the planet that they found.
Yeah. The present day whale is the largest creature that has ever been on the planet, allegedly. Okay. But this whale is even bigger. This whale, they say, is this one thing, the only thing that survived the Lucifer's kingdom. One thing survived. It was Og.
Oh, the guy that hangs onto the ark?
Well, it wasn't a guy. It's a huge ox. It's bigger than the world. I mean, he's huge. And he was the only thing that survived. And so they have all these great discussions about him. But
Og.
Is he still hanging out? It's a sea. It's like an oxen, but it's like a combination ox and whale. It's this
lovely.
It's a huge thing that's really bad news.
Is it still hanging out?
No, he's dead. Okay.
It's not a what?
And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. Now, the whole imagery of the kind can only produce kind has but one metaphor to tell, one story to tell. It means that if Christ is the only begotten Son of God, begotten, that means kind can only produce kind. You, after the flesh, cannot be a child of God.
Never.
You, after the flesh, are not a child of God.
Your father's the
Your father is the devil, because kind can only produce kind. That's why the cross is so manifest, so needed. Because we must be the vessels so that kind can produce kind. You cannot, the only one that can go to heaven is the one that came from heaven. You got it? No one has seen the Father unless he proceeds from the Father. That's why spiritually the Father position is stated in 1 John that you are the one that has been with him from the beginning. That means that you've always been. What?
It's the first time I've understood that.
Huh?
Or that
it's an important one to understand.
Yeah, very.
Puppy.
Okay. And creeping things and beasts of the earth after this kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now the reason the creeping thing is there is because by definition a creeping thing is an unclean thing. Huh?
I just remembered.
Okay. Now when we get farther in here, we'll study what those unclean things mean. And what it typifies in your mind. Every one of these laws is spirit.
God made all the unclean things and looked on them and said that it was good.
All right, and God saw that it was good. Now, what does it mean to be good? It means it's good in that it everything is conforming exactly to his purpose.
And pleasure.
Huh? You still understand it. You find pleasure in it by understanding it. That's how your mind is renewed. That's why the thing that God hates above all things is blind faith. The thing that what your religion, if you grew up in a church, taught you. You know, you'd go ask, I was kicked out of catechism by a Lutheran priest when I was 5 and a half years old, brought home, told that I was an evil child and not to come back because I asked questions. I asked questions that the priest couldn't answer. Now, some of you had similar experiences. But the idea is we are about faith, and faith and understanding are the same thing. Not faith and ignorance. That's how we can cause a revolution in the world. Amen?
Amen.
And God said, let us make man... Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, we just read the Shema, if John would have been here. And the Shema says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Right? But here it says, can't believe nobody asked me. Maybe you would have, but I just... And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Who's the us?
Trinity.
Spirit.
Keep a bit, brother.
Okay.
That's a right answer. Good answer.
Yeah, we got one right.
Ding.
What's the
I was waiting for the buzzer. But I didn't hear it. So I quickly tried to jump on the bandwagon. Wrong answer.
Now listen, this is the most important thing. And let them have dominion. Dominion. Can everybody say dominion?
Dominion.
If you have dominion, nothing can, you. First of all, you can't fear anything. The fear of you and the dread of you will be in every creature. Well, and some of you are working up to it, like, the fear of you, the fear of Rick and the dread of Rick is all the way up to squirrels.
But they're damn frightened.
And fish.
Trembling.
That's right. Fish.
Fish?
Yes, I have dominion over fish. I have touched them.
And they die.
The important thing is I have dominion.
You give your fish leprosy.
Okay.
He meant to do that.
Okay, remember the word dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish. Do you see it? That's for Rick right there. Let them have dominion over the fish.
The first thing in here.
Anything, right. Of the sea. And over the fowl of the air. And over the cattle and over all the earth. and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth,
even
weasels.
Yeah, I have a problem with the creeping things that creep upon the earth.
Okay.
I love the verb, creepeth. It's so cute.
Now, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now, the word image, for those of you, is the Hebrew word tselem. And it's the same thing as we've talked about. It's that a glove is the image of a hand. So man, God created man to contain God, is what that says. Doesn't mean you look like him. So at the creation, at the forming of Adam, man was created in the image. And then it says, and in likeness. Now likeness, you got a different problem here. Because likeness means the same damn thing. Well, now how are we going to get to that? Well, I'll tell you how we get to that. That was fulfilled when Christ was transfigured. So we have the image of Adam and the likeness at the transfiguration of Christ. Now, since both of those natures are within you, then that process of going from image to likeness is your heritage. You will be transfigured into that image by the renewing of your mind.
So that's really that's the whole point of being alive.
Well, man, that's the only reason for being living. That's the only reason for the earth to be created.
Is that why he was transfigured? Because his mind had been completely renewed?
Man.
Killer.
So he was brought down and stuck into a vessel. And
just like
vessel,
you.
The stuff in that vessel.
It's better looking in you, but it was just like
had
you.
Had to be renewed. Yeah.
But he had no comeliness.
Okay.
You
go from image to likeness.
You see? Now, you can leave that path anytime you want to. All men are created in the image and all have the potential to be transformed into the likeness. But at any given point, you can leave that way and go after your own thoughts. Understand? Now that's what causes the fear of God. That's what causes the distrust of your own way. You can choose to follow your emotions or your mind or your intellect and leave the path to become your own divinity. And you can do it for all kinds of righteous reasons.
That Christ had seen in every circumstance that it was good.
Amen.
Okay.
And so you... Okay. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, replenish is a word in the Greek and the English and the Hebrew. All of it means to fill up something that had been there before but wasn't there anymore.
Right. So I was just looking at
to do what?
To replenish it.
Not to plunge it, but to replenish.
If the pile of wood is empty, you replace the pile of wood. But it's only a wood pile because it was wood there before. You replace something that there was a creation before. This is one of the scriptures that proves that Lucifer's kingdom existed. I can show you many, many, and we'll get there when we study the flood.
That would be, in a sense, us, right?
Mm-hmm. We and what we see are the replenishment. There is no, you know, in science... There is no evidence for evolution in the last 7,000 years. All evidence is assumed from fossil evidence from previous order. All I'm saying is all of the fossil evidence is from Lucifer's kingdom.
Yeah, it's like they find these bone fragments and from that construct something that looks like...
Yeah, if you look at the Cro-Magnon man and those kinds of things, and I mean, and they do a pretty good job because they can take a bone of yours and do it. But look at the Cro-Magnon man or the Neanderthal and look, and just with a little bit of touch, look how much he looks like the gargoyles.
Or what you see in your nightmares.
Yeah, or what you see in your nightmares. Or the subconscious understanding of the signs of the occult.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all they have are bones. They just
that's
imagine
funny. I never thought
about
that. We're always doing that at the kids' club. You know, they're going to like museums.
And see the gargoyles?
Yeah.
Or seeing the Cro-Magnon man? Well, just a little, you know.
Yeah, that's really funny.
And that's why that physical manifestation on the ancient buildings, they were homeopathic. It meant they put the ugliness up there to keep the ugliness from coming there. You got it? That's what homeopathic means. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They had in there, they were far closer to the source. Our minds have done nothing but denigrate. Our spirit has done nothing but denigrate of the natural sense, Adam. Back then, they had their genetic memory could remember what these things look like. And that's what they put up there. In every culture of the world, their depiction of the spirit world, before there was any communication, before there were any mass communication, their depiction of the spirit world was the same. The same as the signs of the zodiac. In every culture, who would look up those stars and see, you know,
a guy
or a, you know, a zebra or something, a man and a horse with a bow? Nobody. But every culture calls them the same thing. Why? There's a memory from before the flood. Okay? Where are we? And God said, behold, and replace the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Dominion. Not dominion like ruling it as a tyrant, but dominion as being afraid of nothing. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, and to you it shall be for food. Now, that again, verse 29, is the thing that's healthiest for the human to eat is the thing is something that's alive. It's the seed that it's the thing that has the seed in itself. You understand? Now that's what Daniel ate, that's what the Nazarites ate, that's what I'm still thinking about doing. But anyway, that's another story.
Wouldn't be like pizza.
No, no pizza.
No pizza seeds.
And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. 131. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Not just good. Very good. The word very there is the modifier that meant it met his needs perfectly. Now, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, in you, the Sabbath is the type. And the type is, the Sabbath is the Christ of the Lord. Jesus Christ is your Sabbath. And you in your Sabbath, once you recognize that he is in you, then you can rest from your labors. All of them. They're, especially the mental labors. Aren't you tired of the mental labors?
Yes.
Aren't you tired of fighting against those stupid emotions or things or compulsions? Rest. Now look, go quickly to Hebrews 4.
At this point, did God say it's finished?
Yeah. Hebrews 4.
Hey, John.
What? Oh, big jump. No, yeah. Oh, big jump. Okay. Start verse. Let's see how quickly I can do this one. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Take heed. That means pay attention more than you've ever paid attention to anything in your entire life. Take heed. I challenge you to count how many times that's used in the scriptures. It's almost nothing. Never. It means pay more attention than you've ever thought of paying. Concentrate, focus, whatever your little trick. Take heed, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. What kind of a heart? An evil heart, which is unbelief, doesn't believe to this moment is the resurrection. Understand? An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You're departing from Him because you think you have been forsaken in this moment. You see? You see the complexion that this mystery is taking? It spiritualizes every moment of your life and makes every moment of your life good. No, very good. Finished. And everything else is a lie. Okay. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but to the contrary, exhort one another daily while it is still called today. It's not going to be called today much longer. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now talk about hardened. I can see it in you in 5 seconds when you're hardened. Your mind, you stiff up, you say, you steel yourself against the day, you're hardened. And it's impossible to talk to you. It's impossible for you to hear, and you might as well have never been born. And you do it consciously. You steel yourself. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, hard means, really here, the hard means made callous. It means to be made slothful or skeptical. Skeptical is another good one. Be without hope is another good one. That's what deceitfulness of sin is doing in your life. It has nothing to do with anything except this. This thing, this Antichrist that's always trying to exemplify itself and deify itself and make itself God in God's temple. You are the temple of God, but this one, the Antichrist, has set himself up in the temple. Now you're believing him. Think about your life. There is no example in your life where this thing, this mind and this emotion has not lied to you. And yet you're believing it tonight. You believe something else is needed. Something else has to take place. Something else has to stop taking place. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. You're going to see that today business and harden not your hearts. It seems like over and over and over in the next few verses. It's repeated over and over and over, almost to the extent where it doesn't make sense anymore. But because it's so incredibly important. And Paul, the writer of this book, knew, he saw you, he saw that this is your test. Your test will always be to let this be callous and hardened. All right. It doesn't matter how old you are. Angela becomes the most calloused of anybody half the time. That's her nature. Now, she has to work especially hard not to let that happen. Now, I know because I was just like her. It's so easy to become a skeptic and calloused. It happens instantly, the moment you let it, the moment you... And you think, okay, screw these guys. It's like Harry does when he smokes. Screw Owie, I'm 46 years old, I don't need anybody to tell me not to smoke. I'll show them. I don't need this.
I'm a licensed electrician.
No, Paul is.
I know a licensed
electrician. He got his license.
No,
you need to give. He got it. He's a licensed journeyman electrician. It's a big deal. It really is.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
He's a scientist.
He missed that.
Okay.
I'm a licensed journeyman electrician.
And you have your own.
For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some when they had heard did provoke. However, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Now listen to the next one. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
He's still talking about the people in Egypt, right?
The people who came out of Egypt.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. All of the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Works were finished. Works were finished. God's works were finished. Your works were finished. Our works were finished. From the foundation of the world. There has never been one person in all of history who didn't, that realized this, who did not know perfect joy, no matter what their circumstances. It wipes out the need for sensory gratification. It overrides your mental impulses and needs for sensory gratification. All right. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What this says, fundamentally, is that God's works were finished from the foundation of the world. Your works are finished from the foundation of the world. What must we do to do the work of God? Believe on him who he has sent. Not in some kind of asinine religious way, but believe that he is sufficient for this moment of joy. Not tomorrow. That's Tammuz. You understand? The weeping for Tammuz sounds so righteous. It's in Ezekiel. The women weeping for Tammuz. They're hanging stuff on the green tree, weeping for Thomas, waiting. They're trying to get. They're trying to prime the pump, waiting if they get the right thing. That's why I hate Tilton so much, because he preaches Thomas, not Jesus Christ. That's why I get so furious at you, because you start thinking about, well, I'll be happy tomorrow. No, you won't, because you believe not in Jesus Christ, but you believe in Thomas, the resurrection God of all Gentiles. The Sabbath, the meaning of the Sabbath, the arguments of the Sabbath day are ridiculous. The Sabbath day is Jesus Christ. In him you cease from your own labors. In him the works are finished from before the foundation of the world. Out of him, sorry sucker, you're going to be living a life of misery, denied hopes. Every dream and ambition you have will not come to pass. A few of them that do will only provide you misery. In him, today is joy. Where you're positionally, then life is one of position. Are you in him or out of him? Are you in the Sabbath or out of the Sabbath? Now, then this, now you can understand why the next, the verse 12 and 13 are so important. He's just said about this, and this is what the Sabbath means, and are you there? And then it says, for the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word two-edged there means sacrificial knife. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any sacrificial knife, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul from spirit. You understand? There's no thing, there's no dream, there's no ambition, there's no thing that you can conceive of that is soul that can stand the word. It will be destroyed. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Now we're getting way down there. And is a discerner of the innermost of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that, I mean, it sees what's really going on, not what your words are. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Can you see why now back to Genesis 2, verse 3, it says it's the whole gospel. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
See, what I can see here based on what we just read in Hebrews, God looked at everything he'd done and said, it's very good. And that announced the end of the sixth day, which immediately ushers in the seventh day, the rest. And man, Antichrist, can get all the way through verse 30, but can't get to looking at everything and seeing it's very good.
That's right. That's because that's what that idiot has in his clock up there. The night cometh when no man can work.
Only Jesus Christ.
The night cometh was... the night, and it typified itself, because the night came at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the crucifixion of Christ. The sky was darkened. That was the beginning of night. In the spirit, that was the beginning of the seventh day. You understand? It was 6 days up to that point. The beginning of the seventh day was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the afternoon of Passover.
Does that mean that
from that day until now is one day? To those uninitiated, it's all darkness. But to us, it's light.
You just said that is God looked at Calvary.
On the, amen. God saw Calvary, and that's why he said it was very good. Now, do you understand? It isn't very complicated. It's very simple. Everybody understand perfectly? Okay. I think I've gone beyond hearing here. I think we're at tiredness.
I'm tired.
I need to go to bed.
Okay. Take it, big guy.